Swans have ended a 20-year drought. Big mark, knocked down by Stevenson. Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Welcome to the Monday Waffle. We are back with a full studio today. We're here with Jared and Jimmy. We're back to keep you company, Jared.
Thank you for coming back, guys. A few weeks by myself, think I was going insane, but now I can actually talk to some people about the waffle. Can't wait to get started.
Absolutely. And we've got an interview coming up with Tyler Keitel, who kicked a massive bag on the weekend.
Yeah, the Falcons were very impressive. We'll get to all the results in just a moment. But it's great to be back with you guys. I'm glad we're doing this as a team again. And 5 weeks to go, the waffle was really heating up.
And the band is back together.
Plenty of news coming out of the waffle in recent days and weeks. And Poppy Penny, what have you got to tell us?
Well, Greg Harding, coach of Swan Districts, is going to step down at the end of 2017. He said personal reasons for his decision not to continue. They haven't announced a new coach yet. I think they'll probably start looking fairly soon for a new candidate. But that's sad news. They've had a pretty good partnership, and he's really helped develop a fairly young squad and bring in some good experience.
Yeah, spot on. He's managed to get a handful of ex-AFL players down there, and they were really building to something at the start of the year. There's still a chance to maybe sneak into the five, but all the best to Greg Harding.
And speaking of ex-AFL players, there is one we have to talk about still. We mentioned him. It's Harley Bennell. He's back still. Well, he hasn't gone anywhere, but he's played his second game, and he's charging towards finals for Peel. He's going to qualify for them. He didn't have an outstanding performance this weekend. Just the couple handful of touches there, but he's doing all he needs to do, really. He's not having to impress anyone. He's just playing safe. He got pulled again. He was managed. His time was managed. But he says, after he spoke to the media for the first time in what had been a very long time, a radio silence for him, he's feeling good with his body. He's confident again, and he wants to get back out there.
I mean, it's just exciting. He has such a huge talent, and to just see him getting a little bit of footy under his belt, slowly make his way back, and then he can charge into a full summer, full pre-season, and hopefully get back to playing some AFL, fingers crossed.
Speaking like a true Fremantle fan, Poppy Penny.
We want to see him back kicking bags of five from the midfield. God, we need him.
You're certainly not the only one. I would be extremely rapt if I was a Fremantle supporter with Harley getting back on the track, and we hope to see him soon. I mean, it's great for the Waffle to have such a star player of that calibre playing in the season, so
absolutely,
it's going to be interesting to see what he can provide to Peel as they charge towards the finals.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
All the results from the weekend coming up. Poppy Penny, what did you see?
So I saw Peel Thunder get pumped by Subi. Peel were 6-4-40 and Subi were 12-14-86, so they're was potential for a much bigger margin, but Subi a little bit inaccurate around the goals. Notable performances from Kyle Horsley, another 29 possession game for him. He can just accumulate like nobody else. Also, Aaron Heal, he had the 26. And Liam Ryan continues his run to the 2017 draft, and he kicked 4-1. He is out in front the goal kicking this season.
He's an absolute freak, and he also took another spectacular mark. I don't know how he does it.
It's like he's just like a magnet to the ball, and the ball will, wherever he goes, is going for him.
I am praying to God that he is another one that ends up here in WA, hopefully not at the Eagles. And then for Peel, interestingly, the two boys that got dropped by the Dockers for some weekend fun after the Derby, Luke Ryan had 20 and Brendan Cox had 13. Luke Ryan also took 9 marks. So, I mean, after the Dockers' poor performance on the weekend, it's probably looking like he might get another call-up.
What was your opinion on that, Poppy? You're a fan of the Dockers. Do you think they deserve to be dropped? I mean, yes, they broke the team rules. It's pretty stiff for a couple of young men having a couple of beers on the weekend.
The thing is, they're young men, and Ross needs to instill that kind of, if you don't follow the rules, you'll get dropped behaviour. And I mean, I would like to think if that was a senior player, they would have been treated exactly the same way. But you got to teach them young. Also, Brady Gray had 20 possessions, and I think he's on his way back from a hammy, so really good to see him get back out there. He kicked a couple of goals as well in a fairly lean day for goal kicking from Peel. But another one, my personal favourite, Zach Dawson, also kicked a snag.
Yeah, well, you've been gone, Poppy. I've pointed that out every time that he's been up forward, but he hasn't kicked a goal. Well, too many goals, but he's still kicking goals.
Tell you what, maybe we should bring him back as a full forward. The Dockers really do need someone to take marks or punch the ball away from the opposition, which is just his specialty. Speaking of hit-outs, John Griffin had 43. So, unfortunately for him, though, Sean Darcy is absolutely nailing it in the purple, so I don't know if he'll be getting a look in at AFL level anytime soon.
I'm a big fan of that boy. For me, though, I was having a look at the Royals-Bulldogs game. High scoring with a few young Eagles making their returns in this game. Score-wise, well, the Bulldogs are just continuing their dominance. 18-13, 121, took down the Royals. 14-7, 91. And again, what I said, a pretty high-scoring affair with some pretty nice goal-kicking numbers for some players. Blaine Johnson, he knows where the big sticks are. He got 5. And Saunders, who had 4 himself. On the Royal side, McGinnity had 5, and one of my personal favourites, Luke Partington, who needs a call-up, by the way, now after what's happened against Collingwood for the Eagles, he has, surely, is number one.
It's been really impressive, Jared. I've seen him a few times live this year. Love the way he goes about it. Really good sort of midfielder who knows how to track the ball, runs hard, seems to be getting to some right spots. So will he get an Eagles game by the end of the year? I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see what the Eagles fans think about that. Feel free, Simo,
if you're listening, 29 touches and 2 goals. You probably could have used that on the weekend down at Etihad.
And one other player that I want to point out who's at the crossroads, I think, in her career is Sharad Wellingham. He's been dropped for a couple of weeks now. Only got the 19 touches. Not a real big impact. And I can get your opinion as well. Do you think it could be time up for him at the Eagles?
I don't think he'll get a contract renewal, if I'm being brutally honest. He hasn't shown much, really, since he came over. He's been patchy. He's had a few good patches, but, I mean, he's not consistent enough for what they brought him over to do.
And, of course, the big man, Nick Natanui, is back in Australia. He got back into Perth this morning, so it'll be interesting to see if he can get a game before the year is out.
East Perth will be crossing their fingers. They could use the big Fijian. Although Jonathan Giles, 39 hit-outs, and Scott Jones backing him up with 22. But I tell you what, they would love to see Nick Nat down at the Royals.
Wouldn't that be something?
Can you imagine the crowd at Leaderville Oval if they can get Nick Nat in?
Do you think they would bring him to the Royals, though? If once he's fit, would they send him straight into the team, though?
Surely not. They wouldn't risk him.
I really don't know. I mean, he's such a marquee player. Do you just rush him back into the AFL team? I know he's coming off that ACL.
No, you wouldn't rush him.
The videos of him training in the States, he's got no problems with that knee anymore from what it looks like.
Well, they're certainly interesting, Jared, and the music is even more interesting for that matter.
Oh, yeah, come on.
But,
you wouldn't rush him back considering the fact that West Coast are probably going to finish 9th or 10th. There's no point rushing him back for the September holiday, is there?
Exactly.
You're probably right, unless they want to go for it and go to win and make the 8. But it's going to be extremely tough from here on in. I was at Lathlane Park, and what a facility it's going to be for the Eagles when they move there eventually. They've got the MCG-sized dimension, which is going to be open for some members of the community on the far side, but it was the Falcons that really turned it on in the second half to beat the Demons. The Falcons, 18-18, 126, defeated Perth 11-7-73. 13 goals between Tyler Keitel and Nick Rodder. 7 for Keitel, 6 for Nick Rodder, and a lazy 51 possessions for Shane Nelson.
I saw that. Oh, my.
Oh, he is just a machine.
He just knows how to win the Peel, Jared. I don't know how he does it.
Maybe he doesn't even know. Like, that's unnatural.
The stats sheet looks like it has a typo on it.
But are we going to have a conversation about Shane Nelson's 51, like Tom Mitchell's earlier on? It was 50, but oh, who cares? But no, I think it was pretty good still.
That was bizarre. That blew me away. Is it a good 51? I mean, if you're getting 51...
Can you have a bad 51? I don't really think so. He's kicked a goal with them. He's had 9 inside 50s. It's hard to argue he hasn't had an impact.
He is certainly a star.
And he managed to lay 5 tackles. I don't know how he had time to do that because I don't reckon there was too many minutes he didn't have the ball.
Could be a cheeky chance for the Sandover medal at the year's end. And speaking of Sandover medalists, congratulations to Aiden Tropiano. He played his 100th game
Not a bad 100th, 25 and kicked a goal. And Clint Jones, the Perth Demon Marvel, just keeps on keeping on. He had 33.
And as did Brant College, who's formerly an Eagle. He was on their list for a little bit and didn't quite hang around for too long. What was most impressive from a Falcons point of view is that they piled on 7 goals in the final term, and Keitel kicked 4 of them, and he was just unstoppable in the fourth quarter.
And you had a chat with him just after the game, didn't you, Jimmy?
Yeah, here's what he had to say.
Yeah, obviously it's good to get the win. We've lost the last few, so good to get back in the winner's circle and finally get some reward for my effort. So,
and today you kicked 7 goals for. I went back through the numbers. You've kicked 38, 37 for the year, so you're just over 50%. Was there something different today that allowed you to kick straighter than, say, other weeks?
I've probably been working on it for the last couple, but this is probably the first time it's kind of clicked. Even kicking 4 behinds probably still isn't good enough, so I'll still have to get out there and keep working, but yeah, we'll see how we go next week.
And when you say you've been working on it, what kind of things have you been doing?
I've been spending a lot of time with Joey, the forwards coach, and just getting down early to training and stuff like that, and trying to work on a routine, and just so I've got something to go back to when I'm tired or fatigued or worried about the shot almost.
And do you feel like that maybe obviously helped a lot today? You kicked 4 goals in that final term after 3 in the first 3 terms. Wow, what's been the biggest success in doing that in the fourth quarter as opposed to the others maybe today?
Yeah, well, I suppose just keep working, and I've made... Well, the coaches have wanted me to keep hitting up at the footy, so that obviously takes a bit more energy out of me, and when I go back to my routine, it kind of gives me something to go back to. So.
And I saw a little embrace with you and Nick Rotter on the left-hand side of the field there, I think, after you kicked your 6th or your 7th. What did you guys say to one another? He kicked 6, you kicked 7. Was there any cheeky banter between you two?
Yeah, nah, Rods is good. Good for banter down there. Nah, he wanted to beat me, so I tried to get it to him in the end there, but he didn't want to give me the one over the top, so...
And yeah. On a team level, obviously a great win, back to a bit of confidence. What do you think that will do now as we approach the last final 5 rounds of the season?
Yeah, it's a pretty important win for our season, obviously, going 8-7 now. But we've got a few hard games coming up, and if we can win a couple there, I think we'll definitely be there in finals, and hopefully we can have an impact.
This is Poppy's Picks on the Monday Waffle. All right, that's right, everybody, get excited. Poppy's Picks is back. You can rest assured my tipping has not improved, although I did get 3 from 3 last week. So a round of applause, everyone. Thanks, Jared. Thanks, Jimmy.
Everyone else got 100%.
That's enough from you. I also want to congratulate Jared for 100% 2 weeks in a row.
I know what I'm doing. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, Jared, it's interesting you say that because in an earlier podcast, you did say that East Fremantle would go winless. And since then...
I know what I'm doing. Yeah.
They have. Although I did also say I was going to tip East Frio for the rest of the year. And I backed out 10 minutes later.
But I just want to say, though, I did... When I said they weren't going to win, I did ask... I'll say after that, I hope I'm proven wrong.
Yeah, you did. And so I'm proud of you.
Well done, East Frio. My new favourite team.
Speaking of East Frio, they take on Subi this weekend. Unfortunately, not game enough to tip East Frio against Subi, who I think are going for 16 in a row.
Wow.
Which is just phenomenal. I'm also going to... So Swan Districts will take on Peel Thunder down at Steel Blue Oval on Saturday, and I'm going to go with Swan Districts after they had the week off. Maybe a bit more rested than Peel Thunder, who are carrying a few of the Dockers who probably are a little bit fatigued from coming in and out. South Frio will take on West Perth at Fremantle Community Bank Oval, and I'm going to go with South Frio on this one. And then I'm going to tip Claremont to beat East Perth at Claremont Oval, which I went to a couple of weeks ago and is an absolutely beautiful facility.
Gorgeous.
They've done a brilliant job down there. Absolutely brilliant.
I was very fortunate to call a game out of the brand new commentary box and the view.
I'd love an apartment blocks that have gone up nearby. I'd love to get it, one of those ones. The view of the Oval looks fantastic. But I've got a tip, don't I? Subiaco are going to take down East Fremantle. Again, even though we talked about how good they've been playing, just probably not at Subiaco's level just yet. Peel Thunder will take down the Swan Districts. Nope, sorry, change my mind. Swan Districts will take down the Peel Thunder. Swans will beat Peel. South Fremantle will beat West Perth at home, and East Perth will beat Claremont.
Ooh.
Jimmy?
I'm going to back in the rolling juggernaut that is the Subiaco Lions to beat East Fremantle, even though it's at East Fremantle Oval. Going to also go the Swan Districts to beat Peel at Steel Blue. Going to back South Fremantle over West Perth.
Oh, Jimmy.
Sorry, boys.
Blasphemy.
Well, last couple of times, they've just been a bit disappointing, and I'm really looking forward to that match this weekend to see how far they've come, and hopefully the margin can either be reversed or dramatically decreased from a West Perth perspective.
I do think they can give them a scare.
Yeah?
Like, they're in with a shot.
Well, I mean, when you've got two forwards kicking 13 between them, Coach Bill Monahan's tried something, and clearly it's worked. So.
Massive confidence boost for them, but I don't know. The Bulldogs do look pretty good this year, I reckon.
Yeah, they'll certainly be there at the pointy end of the year. That's at Fremantle Community Bank Oval at 2:15. And Claremont East Perth with a touch of a later start, 10:03. I'm going to back in Claremont.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti. I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle. Oh, yeah. Come on.
So, just recapping those games this weekend, East Frio will take on Subi at East Fremantle Oval at 2:15 on Saturday. Swan Districts also at 2:15 will take on Peel Thunder at Steel Blue Oval. And South Frio and West Perth will play at Fremantle Community Bank Oval at 2:15. And then Claremont East Perth at 3:10 at Claremont Oval. Now, that game, Jared, is very important in terms of the ladder and making the finals.
Well, let's just put it this way. Claremont and East Perth share the same percent, bar a decimal point, and they are on the same points total as 24, so they're two games outside the top five. Loser of this will then fall three games behind the top five. I think that's going to be almost impossible then to reach the finals with the calibre of teams that are above them already.
It's very tight, though, because if West Perth lose to South Frio, there's still only two games out.
That will be... If we go for assuming situations,
yeah.
If East Perth win this game, they take on West Perth the week after.
Oh.
And that could mean if East Perth have a few good wins, West Perth fall out of the top five.
Wow, massive couple of weeks coming up for both East Perth and West Perth.
But I think some of the teams that are safe, I think Subi's okay, seeing as they've only lost once. They're sitting comfortably. We're saying that Claremont and East Perth are on 24 points. Well, Subiaco is sitting on 60. South Fremantle is clear in second with 48 points. Peel with 40. I think those three teams are just locks.
Mm.
Swan Districts, West Perth. Again, they're sitting comfortable now, but who knows what could happen in the next few weeks. But Jimmy, bottom of the ladder, we've had some movement first time in a long time.
You're kidding.
Well, there would have been a lot of people watching and cheering on the Falcons on the weekend because in their thumping of the Demons, East Fremantle have come off the bottom of the ladder and they are now 0.36 percentage points above Perth, who are now placed on the ladder. And
that's the feel-good story of the year.
Well, they've got two games in hand as well, the Sharks. So if they can keep their scoring up and not concede a lot of points, they might just avoid that wooden spoon, Jared.
Well, they have had some good players coming back. They've managed to get... Yeah.
They do, however, take on Subiaco this week, so I'm not sure we should be counting our chickens before they hatch They very much could fall back down. Although, Perth do have the bye this week.
Interesting stuff. We will certainly see how far they've come on Saturday. That's the Lions and the Sharks. You've been listening to the Monday Waffle. I'm Jimmy Williams.
I'm Jared Gardner.
And I'm Poppy Penny. Thank you for listening to the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.